Good morning, everybody. I'm Pauline, and I'm I'm the coordinator of the missions people, points people here in the church. If you are new here, the person who was reading today is Peter Huang. He and Beth and their children are currently in Cambodia. Peter's teaching at Siem Reap Hope School, which is an OMF initiative to help. Well, Peter and Beth are OMF people. It's an initiative to teach missionary children to free up their parents to do the work, the missionary work that they've been called to Cambodia to do. So that was Peter reading in Korean. They've been sent out from our church here in Papua New Baptist. And it gives me great pleasure today to welcome OMF people with us. Those who've been in the church for some time will recognise Ben and Elspeth Kong. Please come on up. They're going to be sharing with us this morning. I'm keeping it short. I don't want to steal their thunder. But Ben and Elspeth and many of us have got a long history together. And what can I say? I was thinking of EMS. They are movers and shakers as far as cross-cultural work is concerned. Spent a long time in Thailand and then have worked cross-culturally here in New Zealand forever. They're movers and shakers. They are mentors. They've mentored many people, older people, younger people. They are motivators. Man, can they get people moving. And it's much thanks to Elspeth and Ben that Beth and Peter, who was on screen, have gone out there. They're also models. And they've been great models to us as we went out on the mission field and great models to many others who've made an impact in the cross-cultural, especially the cross-cultural setting. So Ben and Elspeth, come on up. Let me pray for you. And we're looking forward to hearing what you have to say to us this morning. Oops. Hope that wasn't your notes. No. No, it wasn't. Phew. Wouldn't it be horrible to stir them all up? Father, we do thank you so much for the heritage that these two people have given, the investment they've given into the lives of so many, including ourselves. All that they've given of themselves to this church and the church that they have moved on to out in the countryside. Father, I pray for them this morning that as you speak through them to us, you would give us open hearts and ears to hear what you have to say as they bring your message. We pray for them, for your peace and for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is amazing. Very high up here. It's amazing being back here. Can you hear me all right? Keep it close. Yes, it is wonderful to be here. I'm reluctantly standing here, but it's partly because my role now is I'm the OMF South Thailand sort of representative, and I have been in contact with Pauline quite a lot about some of our connections with this church in that context. But I'm not really a speaker. Ben's always done that all our lives. But he said, no, it's your job, you do it. But he has helped me, and he will help me a little bit this morning. So I hope you'll just be gracious with me as I try not to muddle my thinking too much. I've been given the verses in Isaiah 43:19-21, which I think will eventually come up on the screen behind us. And I've mulled over this quite a bit, but I've decided to choose just one aspect, one verse, one part of it. So I'll read it to you now. From 18? Okay. I'll read, yes. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you perceive it or see it? I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honour me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide food in the desert and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. There's a lot in this passage, but I'm just going to focus really on some aspects of verse 19. As you know, we came back to Thailand, to New Zealand, in 1991. We honestly wondered. We were really lost for a long time, and we have lots to thank this church for, and for the wonderful friendship and acceptance that people in this church gave to us as we came back with our four children to resettle in New Zealand. We're all on these sorts of journeys, aren't we? We have changes in our lives. One thing we can be always sure of is that as followers of our Heavenly Father, He never leaves us or forsakes us. There are times when we really wonder, we are lost, but He holds on to us, and that's huge, and I think many of you here can testify to that in your lives. We were tired and discouraged when we first came back. We really felt we'd failed. We hadn't completed the work in Thailand that God had asked us to do. We were in quite a dry place. It was a bit of a desert and a wilderness. There was just so many aspects of learning to live in New Zealand, making friends and getting to know how to live here properly and to raise our children who were mid-teens to around middle school age. So for quite some time, we were kind of wandering and wondering what on earth is God going to do. And people said to us, like verse 18, forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. You're here now. Move on. That was the hardest thing. It seemed very harsh to say that to us at that time. Not using those words, but sort of meaning. But He had a plan for us, and it was good. And as this plan evolved, we began to see that we couldn't have done what we came back and did without having had those years in Thailand and without having the experience of sending our children, as we did in those days, away to boarding school at quite a young age. Gradually, through introductions from friends and encouragement from many of you, we grew a small business caring for international students, putting them into good host families and providing pastoral care. And most of these students in those early days in the 90s were from Thailand. How amazing. God brought us home, but Thailand followed us. And just, it was, we could sort of, it just put a spark back in our eyes and a spring in our step, so to speak. God is so good. We started to see that this, as a business, as a ministry, see the business as a ministry that He had equipped us for. And I want Ben to just share a little story as we started to realize that God used us to be part of many of these folk coming to know the Lord. Ben's going to tell us about Samantha.
Good morning, everybody. Would you like to stand because you've been sitting for a long time? Just to shake your legs. That's great. Please be seated. In Fijian, we say Nisayandra. In Maori, we say Morena. Is that how you say? Morena. In Cambodia, how we say good morning? Say that again. Arun Sutrai. And in Thailand, we say Arun Sawat. Any other language? What's that? Which language is that?
Arabic.
Oh, thank you, Pauline. But you. Sorry, PNG? Radatengi. Oh, well done, well done. There's lovely lots of languages in here. You know, the verses that we read from Isaiah talks about the desert. And many of us will go through desert experience. And when we came back from Thailand, it was certainly a desert experience. But remember Jesus went through a desert experience as well. And when he came out of that desert experience, remember what happened? He started his ministry. When we came back, we were in the desert experience here. And I remember, what, like Elspeth said, forget about the past. And when you lived overseas for so many years, it's really difficult to forget the past. Very difficult. But God says, forget the past, move on. New things are going to happen as it's happening and will happen in this church. And when we moved on in those years, God provided all those students from Thailand, and some of them came from China. Most of the ones that came from China didn't have any idea of what God or who God was. And I want to share briefly the story of this young lady called Samantha. Samantha went to a Christian homestay, and through the Christian homestay, she became a Christian. And one day, we met her at a restaurant. If I mention the homestay, you'd probably know them. Anyway, we were there, and we sat down, and Samantha got up from the table, and she ran across and says, "Oh, Uncle Ben, nice to see you." And I said, "Wow, lovely to see you, Samantha." And she said, "You know, I've become a Christian." I said, "Yeah, I know that, but you know what? I went back home to China, and both my mom and dad have become Christian. And we, my host family and I, have just come back from China because my parents have been both been baptized in China." And that was such a wonderful thing for us, through that desert experience, to know that the new thing that God was doing was using our life here in New Zealand to bring new life into the life of people. And Samantha has gone back. We've lost contact with her back into China. And we know that she's doing things that God wants her to do, just as God wants to do new things in our life for us here in Christchurch.
Thank you. I like the words that says, when I'm going to do a new thing, now it springs up, do you see it? Do you perceive it? And I don't think many of us do. We don't, when we're in that wilderness, that desert place, we don't actually see that. But behind the scenes, God is working. Do you think the people of Israel could see that God wanted to call them into something new in this period of history? Ben and I could not have dreamed that God had a plan for us to continue our connection with the Thai people and other people of Asia. He just put the opportunity in front of us, using some of you, making connections, and we followed. And what followed was absolutely amazing, 25 years, where we just, people said, "How do you do it? It's so time consuming." I said, when you've got joy in your job, it's not a job. When you start to lose that joy, that's when you need to move on to new things. And I think, at this point, I don't want to say names because I'm sure to miss people out, but there are so many of you in this congregation who have helped us through that journey, encouraged us. We didn't have a clue about running a business. In Thailand, we had to submit 6 monthly reports sort of on our what was happening and you know, a bit of a report to our superiors. And some of that involved a bit of admin. And every time when our evaluation came back at the end of 6 months, or sometimes it was a year because we used to put our evaluation in the bin, it always commented on, you know, positive things about some things. But our weakest point was administration. Well, you can imagine there's a huge amount of administration involved in working with in that kind of business. We had to have forms for the students to fill in, forms for the applications to schools, forms for the homestays, all that checking, then reporting back to the parents. Somehow, God helped us do that. And we had people who helped us with, when computers came in, we moved on from a fax machine, and we were able to learn new technology that helped us hugely. So we're so thankful, the new things. How do we see that God is doing new things for us in these days? I wonder if we do really. Are we trusting him, listening to him? We're living through a time of huge global change on many levels. In little old New Zealand and all over the world, life in our churches here and in our mission globally, it's not the same as it once was. We aren't going back to the past. We've been called into something new. It doesn't mean we forget the past, like verse 18 says, but we're building on the past creatively and imagining what God can really do. So we're coming through this wilderness space, and I think in society we could say we're in a bit of a wilderness now. We don't know what is going to be happening into the future. But it's a challenge. And I think the most reassuring thing is that through Scripture, as Ben has mentioned, we see that the wilderness place is a place of refreshment, quietness, wrestling, listening, finding out what he wants us to do for that next stage. And I love the bit in verse 19 where it says, it talks about it springs up. It springs up like something new, and it's a spring makes you think of water or grass growing fresh in the change of seasons. We're looking forward to that, aren't we, in spring? And the warmth of the sun, the warmth of God breathing onto those things is going to create something that we could not have imagined. I think there are stages when we're in here that we I was talking to someone last week in our church at West Melton, and they said it's so hard when you can't see what's happening. It's so hard to keep trusting him. And I was a wee bit shocked to hear this from someone who's a very mature Christian. But I said, you know, it's God that gives us the faith to trust. It's kind of, so we went into prayer then and asked for God to grow our faith, grow our trust, because it is only through that we can hang on and not be consumed with anxieties and fears and negativity about our future and the future of our church, our future of our families, heavy things that burden us. So that's what we need to keep doing. I'd like us to think today, because my heart is for mission, can we imagine what global mission is going to look like in the next decade or two? I'm sure a lot of you have thought about it. From this church, the kinds of people you've been supporting are more traditional. But even though in the lifetime that they've been on the field, things have changed. Things have changed. So I just think we have to really, today it's grown more and more as into partnerships. And I think from what I've heard, Adam spoke a wee bit about this last week. It's equal partnerships as we work together. I noticed that we've been home a long time now. We came back in 91. But I've noticed that so much more partnering from home side. Of course, we partner with churches, but mission agencies are partnering together now to share personnel. On the field, doesn't matter what mission you belong to, you are all there as God's messengers. And you complement each other, and you work together. sharing the physical stuff, like in Thailand, OMF's language school in central Thailand is for all the missions that come into Thailand go to that language school. And you don't really know what mission they belong to because it doesn't matter. On Homeside, missions are working together for mobilisation. It's hugely encouraging to see the collaboration between, there's a notice on your board, that Laidlaw is showing, has a festivalette, Redeeming the Screen, they're calling it. And that's a collaboration between Laidlaw, CMS, which is the Anglican, OMF, and SIM. And those leaders have all come together to pull together this thing that is going to, this event, that is going to help us to see things in a different way. I guess you are aware that more and more countries around the world are no longer accessible to Christian missionaries. In fact, the term missionary is so strongly linked with the negative side of colonialism that we probably shouldn't use it anymore. And I've heard in recent years that the term message bearer or missions bearer seems to be a good mission. Marketplace, mission or business is more, these are words that are tossed around too. But it's not particularly new, and if you only need to talk to Pauline and Tony, the OM and scattered global organisations have done a huge amount of work in this area of sending people in their profession to go and work. And one lovely example I've found on the internet. I love the story about men who went to a non-accessible country using their profession as pest controllers. And they went there to live and catch rats or something. But they shared their faith in that environment. Hairdressers into North Vietnam, baristas opening cafes in Japan. There's all sorts of ways that mission is being done now. And I think that this is the new thing that God is doing, one of the new things. We're going to close with a video message that I saw recently on at some of our couple who are one of our newest candidates. And I want you to listen. You need to listen carefully because they're not English isn't their first language, but their call spans 25 years.
And they came from it's only.
Wait. Their call spans 25 years from east. They came from the east to the west, and are they going back to the east in quite a different way? Mission is about growing disciples, not about geography anymore. And as Ross and Ever will tell you, you don't retire once God calls you to go to the mission field. You don't retire. Technology today enables online prayer, Bible studies, mentoring, mobilizing, team leading, language learning. This is a new thing that God is doing. Some of us struggle with the technology, but we are getting there with the help of the youngies. So let's watch the video, and I hope in some ways it will inspire you, because I was hugely encouraged when I saw this. And it's a wonderful testimony of this couple called Wen Jun and Kelly. And then after that, Ben will pray to close. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. My name is Wen Jun.
My name is Kelly.
I was a public servant of the Australia government. My professional background is system engineering.
I was a qualified accountant, worked in the corporate world for more than 20 years. We both are third-year Bible College students at Chinese Theological College, Australia, based in Sydney. At this stage, we are also OMF candidates for church planting.
I was born to a Christian family in Southeast China. However, I was baptized in a Japanese local church in Tokyo when I worked there 25 years ago.
I am the first Christian in my entire family. I was baptized in Auckland. It is at Auckland Christian Mandarin Church 23 years ago. Our target field is Japan. Why Japan? We all know Japan is a wealthy and beautiful country, but you may not know that Japan is craving for spiritual needs and support. The main religion are Shinto and Buddhism in Japan. The evangelical Christian is only 0.57% of the whole population. And the Christian annual growth rate is minus 0.4%. It is declining. There are 1 out of 8 Protestant churches without pastor. 90% pastors in Japan are over 50 years old. More than half of them are over 70 years old.
My heart for Japan started through an unexpected event. It was only a few months after I became a Christian. I met a young Japanese man at the church. We called him Yoshida-san. But he disappeared from the church a few weeks later. Pondering why he suddenly left the church, I took the courage, invited him for having dinner together. I learned that his heart was for advance of Japan. He thought the church could not help on this. I listened, but I did not really know what to say. I only said what came to my mind that time, something like, I respect your decision. But as a human being, our strength is limited. If we overwork too much, our bodies might even collapse. Instead, we can trust God and seek his help at any time. After that, we said goodbye, but not sure if we would meet again. Surprisingly, a few months later, when I was about to leave Japan, I saw him again at the church. Initially, I thought he might just come for my farewell. However, what happened to him was shocking. He indeed had lost consciousness at workplace because of overwork. He remembered our conversation, and his mind has been changed by God. At that point, I realized that God has used me to help this young Japanese man. 24 years has passed since that event, and a lot of things have happened in my life. I suffered from serious diseases. Marriage was also broken down. It took me a good 7 years to recover. With God's grace and mercy, he restored me physically and spiritually. My heart for Japan can change. When Kelly and I finally decided to go to a mission field, it was clear to me that God has saved me through a local Japanese church, and to Japan, I should go.
Not like Wenjun, I never had a heart for Japan and Japanese people. With my education background in China, Japan is our enemy. I did not want to work for a Japanese company and even not want to be my holiday place. My first trip to Japan was in 2019, just before COVID happened. It was for facilitating Carol's course in Tokyo. When I was there, I really wanted to see where most Japanese go for their spiritual needs. That must be a shrine temple. In Japan, nearly each suburb has at least one shrine temple. Each one has their own style and even with their own design logo. One day, I visited one in the area where I stayed. This shrine logo quickly attracted my attention, as its shape looks like a cross. This cross-shaped logo is almost everywhere in this temple. When I walked to the end of the courtyard, I saw a big cross-shaped logo on the offering box in front of the main building. I stood aside and watched the people worshiping. I prayed for them to God, but I also questioned in my mind. I asked God, why they put a cross as a logo here? Do they know the real meaning of it? Immediately, a gentle voice came to my mind. They really don't know what the cross means to them, but you know, you go to tell them. Wow, such a big call. I teared, and my heart for Japan has been changed by God immediately. He gave me his words to strengthen my faith. It says, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you, nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Deuteronomy 31:8.
To be prepared for a mission in Japan, Kelly and I enrolled to Bible college in late 2019, and we moved to Sydney from Canberra in early 2020. Our full-time study will finish in next June, and we are aiming for arriving in Japan as a missionary in 2024, if God is willing.
Please pray for us, for God's guidance on our journey towards Japan. May we follow his will wholeheartedly. Pray for our studies in Bible college to finish well. Pray for my mom. Her eyes need long-term treatment in Auckland.
Thank you so much for your prayers. Warmly inviting you to journey with us. You can scan this QR code to subscribe our newsletter.
God bless you.
Hello, everyone.
Thank you, Papa Nui Baptist, for your generosity and for your having us here this Sunday. Please join me in prayer as we close our service together. Our Heavenly Father, thank you. That you have a heart for each one of us. Thank you that you send Jesus into this world